Hey, CC.
That Wanda?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi. I just made you the host.
Right. Okay.
So you see that little green up arrow at the bottom where it says share your screen?
I do.
If when you're ready to share, you click that and then it allows you just to click on the application, which I assume is PowerPoint.
Yes, it
Yeah,
is.
and then you can share that. Also, at the top, you should have buttons
Okay.
like for if you click on that button that says participants, you can see all of the participants in the meeting. Oh yeah, I see your screen now. So
Okay.
if you want to put it in presentation mode, you can go ahead and do that too.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
beautiful. And you see at the top, it tells you that it's recording. Top left, it should say
Okay.
recording.
Okay.
All right. And at any time you want to pause or stop the recording, there is a button at the bottom. That's what
Guys.
the button at the bottom that's right next to the share your screen allows you to start and stop recording.
Bottom, he says at the bottom.
Yeah, like you probably can't see it now because you're in presentation mode. So at the top, if you say
Okay.
pause sharing, then you'll probably be able to see it.
Oh, okay.
All right, now go look at, yeah, the bottom.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, thank you. All right. I see.
And
Is
on
that
the up,
Ruby?
yeah, on the other side of the share screen is a chat button.
On the other side of the chair. Oh, let's see.
If
Okay,
you're
I
still
see
in
chat.
presentation mode, you might have to pause it and then look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's see it. Now, I see it on my screen it's on top of the presentation. Does anybody else see that on top of my presentation, or
No.
I
Does it?
see.
No, I
It's
no
on top of
it,
my
no you
chat
don't.
box.
No, that was me. They didn't see it. I don't see it on the top of your presentation.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Okay. All
Mm-mm.
right. Well, that's helpful to know. So.
Can you hear me?
Hey,
I'm logging in early.
I appreciate that.
So how will we get the slide presentations? We'll just click on where it says New Hope Missionary Baptist Church.
No. No, we'll have to zip it up and send it to
You
them
don't see?
after that. Yeah, the New Hope
Okay.
is my yeah, is my login. That's me. But no. So we'll, you're gonna send it out via email, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll send it out. I guess maybe what I'll do is I'll do the PDF file and then I'll send you a copy so that you can email the New Hope Church members, and
Okay.
then I'll email anybody else who's not New Hope.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. So Pastor Brown's going to kick it off.
Okay.
This has been a little bit of a tough day, y'all. I had the chance to watch the funeral for George Floyd that they had televised today, and Al Sharpton stepped on my message today. but he was awesome. He was awesome. The message he had was really great and very moving for me.
It was in the middle of my workday, so I hope somewhere out there on Facebook I can catch a recording of it.
Okay, yeah.
All right, good evening. How are y'all doing?
Hey, Pastor.
Doing great. How about yourselves?
Great.
Good. How many folks do we have on so far?
We have eight.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Too late for me to worry about finances. They are what they are at this point.
Well, my computer's telling me my internet connection is unstable.
Well, we're going to pray for stability.
Appreciate that.
All right, brothers and sisters, we are thankful to God for your joining in on this call tonight. It is 6 p.m., and I want to be respectful of the time and go ahead and start tonight for this special presentation, Hope in the Midst of COVID-19, How to Be Rich in a Pandemic. And I'm sure Sister Cece will give you all the context of this conversation. But I will say just initially, you know, the Lord has provided New Hope with a number of individuals who have strong skills, talents, and abilities. And part of our work as disciples of Jesus Christ is to actually utilize those skills, talents, and abilities for the glory of God. And one way in which Cece has yielded herself, as we all know, is in relation to financials, the financial kind of focus and understanding of finance. And she has a strong, very strong background in terms of working with congregations related to church finance. Especially. But we also know that a few months ago, Sister Cece also acknowledged the call to ministry that the Lord has placed on her heart. And she and I have been meeting over the last several months, at least I know two or three times face to face. And then during this pandemic, we've met a few times virtually. And so this is, you know, a part of that process in terms of her continuing to discern God's will for her life. And I am appreciative of her in taking the lead in doing this. I thought this was very impactful for our congregation to understand some of the things that are happening in our world from a both financial and a spiritual perspective. And so I would that you would give her your time and attention and pray God's richest blessings on you. If you would, let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time in which we share together to understand where it is that we are in our world today. We thank you, Lord, for despite us being in the midst of a pandemic and all of the other things that are going on in our world related to injustice, that you continue to keep us and continue to prune us to be what it is that you would have us to be, disciples who actually would bear good fruit. Lord, use this time that we are gathered together to enhance our knowledge and give us some application for our lives. Be with Sister Cece tonight as she shares with us what it is that you have laid upon her heart. God, thank you for all things. In the name of your son, we pray. Amen. Sister Cece, it's on you.
Thank you, Pastor. And I just want to thank everyone who is on this tonight. First, give glory to my King of Glory, Jesus the Christ. And I'd like to thank my pastor for this opportunity to share with you all this evening. And in order for me to get through all of the presentation, I just ask you to, if you would, to mute your microphones and your phones. And if you would, if you have any questions, if you could type them in the chat box, and if you could hold, or just hold them to the end. If time permits, I'm going to try to answer some questions. But if not, I'll try to answer your questions directly. I'll have my contact information on the last slide so that you can email me or call me or text me and let me know what additional information you might need to know. All right, so let me jump right in. This is, I have entitled this presentation, How to Be Rich in a Pandemic, Hope in the Midst of COVID-19. And at the time that the Pastor Brown asked me to prepare a presentation, COVID-19 was at the top of the news cycle. Shortly after we agreed on when to schedule it, the news cycle had changed to a pandemic, and I'm using pandemic as to describe this, because this is something that's worldwide now, but a pandemic of a different order. The media coverage of the video showing the murder and lynching of Mr. George Floyd has incited protests around the world against the centuries of injustice that unarmed Black men and women have suffered at the hands of police in America. This new type of pandemic is having a different effect than that of COVID-19. In some instances, is actually having the opposite effect, where we were told to stay at home because of COVID-19. The protests over the death of George Floyd has caused protesters to pour out into the streets of cities all across the country and around the world. Instead of preparing to open back up for business, many businesses have been boarded up with no sign of opening up for business anytime soon. Instead of social distancing, people are marching together in the streets in fairly close proximity, definitely not 6 feet apart. What I'm referring to as pandemics have in common is the exposure they have given to and the light that they have shown upon the impact of the centuries of oppression that African Americans and other people of color have had to endure. COVID-19 has exposed the health inequities we have had to endure, and the image of a white man's knee on the neck of George Floyd reflects the knees that the powers that be in this country have had on the necks of African American people since our ancestors were first brought here as slaves to North America. They have had their knees on our necks with our every attempt to overcome the ill effects that the centuries of slavery and oppression have had on us and on our ancestors, that being social, educational, physical, or economic. But despite it all, by the grace of God, we have continued to not only survive, but many in our community have made great strides toward what our capitalistic society would call success. Yes, some of us are what we would call rich. Just before the news coverage of Mr. Floyd's death began, governors across the country were making plans on how to open up their state's economy, to reopen businesses, get people back to work, and consumers back in the stores, malls, dealerships, stadiums, auditoriums, bars, barbershops, restaurants, and even churches. Their decisions will not only impact our wallets or pocketbooks, that is our wealth, but they could literally impact our existence. And I am convinced that they could care less about my life or yours. As descendants of the key to America's financial wealth turned thorn in their flesh, Donald Trump and his constituents would be happy to see us disappear. He knows that his reelection is riding on our low turnout at the polls in November, and if that means opening up the economy at the cost of our lives, I believe that he could care less.
Yes, take him to her.
If the coronavirus doesn't kill us, the police or the military might. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's just about racism. It's primarily an economic thing. Those who pull the purse strings on our economy care nothing about the poor white people in America any more than they care about us. But most of them have been so blinded by his rhetoric that they don't realize that they have been fooled. That also doesn't mean that life for us would be better if the economy remained closed, but it just means that we are in trouble whether they open the economy or not, or whenever they open the economy. From the day that, from the day we began our education in America, they began programming us to chase dollars and to accept the status quo so that they can remain in control of this economy and our money. Unfortunately, the current driver is reckless. And not only is he drunk, but he's asleep at the wheel. Having said all of that, I would also argue that so are we. You see, we've been made drunk and put to sleep by our possessions, our comfortable existence, our various modes of entertainment and social media. But guess what? Coronavirus and the protests against the murder of George Floyd are shaking us out of our sleep. And I don't think that we're sober yet. America has become known as the most overworked developed nation in the world. And despite our high unemployment, African Americans are among the hardest working people in America and always have been and always will be. But problem is, our work-life balance is out of control because we have been duped into believing that life is about riches, houses, cars, and wealth. We spend 1/3 of our life and most of our income, that's 70 to 80%, on making Earth our eternal home. We live in a culture that indoctrinates us to believe that money can buy us happiness, that we kill ourselves earning less of it and someone else gets more of it. We worship a God who lived, suffered, and died so that we might have an abundant life, both here and eternity. But what the Lord means by abundance is not the same as what the world means by abundance or to be rich. So here are the objectives of my presentation. First, I'm gonna discuss the financial impact that the coronavirus is having on us right now, and how we can be better stewards over our financial blessings during these times, and what it really means to be rich and have abundance during COVID-19 or any crisis, to speak of. So the first slide, So my first slide is the outline of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to start off talking about COVID-19 fears and what the fears are about. And then also we'll look at the financial impact that it is having, the upside, the downside, and the upside. We'll look at the government relief, some other relief that's been provided. Also, some practical advice that financial advisors, or supposedly the financial experts, are giving us during this time. And then we'll also look at some scriptures on how to be rich in a pandemic, about what it means to be a good steward during COVID-19, and then what it means to be rich toward God. Okay, so fears. In searching the articles about our fears related to COVID-19, one article indicated that our fears fall into two major categories. First, fear of the unknown. And that's the what we are commonly afraid of when there's something that we have a fear of. It's because we don't understand what that is. And so it's because we don't yet know or haven't read or studied or learned what that that thing is that we're afraid of. So that's the first fear that we are most commonly afraid of when we think of COVID-19. And then the second category is the looming threats as related to it, COVID-19. And that could be suffering of any form. And that's what causes us anxiety and gives us angst about what's going to happen in the future. And that could be suffering from in any form, be it physical, emotional, financial, material, or social. And then also, we also have this fear of dying and death as a result of COVID-19. Our fears have a negative or domino effect on our economy. For example, we tend to hoard more money or hoard more cash, and we decrease our spending, which reduces profits or money that is being made by businesses, which negatively impact the stock market and causes job losses, which increases unemployment claims, and which also turns around and increases employment-related taxes. So this fear that we have has an economic impact on our economy or on society. So let's start off looking at the downsides of the impact, financial impact. While each person's situation is different, everyone has been impacted by the crisis. In addition to the sickness it has caused and the lives that have been lost, COVID-19 has had a severe impact on our economy. And here are some of the examples of things that people have experienced, we have experienced. There's the increase in the health risk associated with having the possibility of getting it. Or even dying from it. And if you get sick from it, the average hospital, end up having to be in the hospital, an average hospital bill from COVID-related sickness is $30,000. And so that's something that we would hope to avoid. Loss of jobs, many people have lost jobs or their hours have been cut back, which means their income is a loss in their net worth. Some of their savings have declined, and their homes, the net worth or the value of their homes have declined. There's been a reduction in available supplies, such as toilet paper and paper towels and things like that. And then there's been an increase in the cost of some of those supplies. We've had an unavailability of some of the necessary services that people have are used or accustomed to having, like haircuts and hair salon, going to the hair salon and nail salon. There have been fewer outdoor activities and fewer options for entertainment activities or dining activities. Those things were impacted by the COVID crisis. And then also there have been some related scams associated with the COVID crisis. And so there have been an increased number in scams. And so you have to be really careful about the emails that you get or things that you just, you know, you click on trying to, you know, look for something. It might be an advertisement, but you have to just really be careful about what it is that you are clicking on and following when it comes to, because there are a lot of scams out there. So now let's look at the upside. So truth be told, despite the things that on that previous list, there have been some positive benefits as a result or and side effects as a result of COVID-19. both for individuals and for businesses. So here's a list of some things. And things like, first thing I noticed was the decrease in the gas prices. When I, like first week, I saw that the prices of gas had started to go down. And I think it's gone up a little since, but it's, that was one of the first things I noticed. And, but there also been the decrease in transportation costs in general, an increase in online shopping. There's been the increase in job opportunities, and in some industries, even though some industries lost a lot of jobs, there some where people have had an employment opportunity. And then there have been the opportunities to get into the stock market. So with financial advisors, people who who will recommend things that you might invest in, they will tell you that this is the time to get into the stock market because the prices of stocks have declined. And so when, if you don't, if you're not already in it, this is the time to get in, is what they'll tell you. So the opportunity to get into the stock market, people have had more time to rest and rejuvenate to get so that they'll be better rested when they go back to work. We've seen an increase in generosity. And as an accountant for churches, one of the things that we were originally anticipating was a decrease in people's giving because people are out of work or they don't have as much income. So we're thinking, okay, well, offerings are going to go down. That has not been the case. And I've been amazed at that people have either given more or they didn't decrease their giving or giving has gone up. And that's been the blessing, really a great blessing. But opportunities to change our work habits. Many of us have had the opportunity to work from home and just things are different, y'all. Opportunities to take control of our spending and kind of stop spending money where unnecessarily that we were spending before. And then opportunities to improve our health, to get control of what we're doing with our health, because that affects your money. If you don't take care of your health, then you know that hurts your pocketbook. So because of our citizenship, both our federal and state governments, okay, yeah, just want to make sure I want to skip the page. Because of our citizenship, both our federal and state governments have they've already had in place some measures to take care of job losses. But because of the deep impact that the crisis will have had on our economy, they have taken some additional measures. And so they have increased or extended things like unemployment benefits, and they have sent us given us stimulus checks or stimulus money. And you may have gotten a direct deposit into your bank account, or you may have received a check in the mail, but they're also giving people prepaid debit cards as a way to give them their money. Small businesses have received stimulus money. Some people who have student loans have been given deferrals and for at least 6 months with no interest. And there have been income tax deferments. We've gotten an extension in filing and paying taxes. And then there have been some penalty reliefs as well. Okay, so let's briefly, what you got, and this is based on your filing status for your income tax. If you are single and no children, you got, and your income was less than $75,000, you got $1,200. Their goal was that for each individual to receive at least $1,200. And if you had a child who was under 17, you were supposed to get $500 for each of those children. But that was if your income was $75,000 or less. As your income got increased over that $75,000, that amount went down until you got up to the maximum. And each filing status had a different maximum. So that's what this slide is about. Okay, the other thing that this is really what told me that, yeah, this is a big deal. We are in a crisis. And that was, we had 3 extra months to file our tax return. And that was like, oh, this is serious. So I just wanted to remind us that we have to July 15th to file our tax returns now. And so, but just to know that the extension, the normal extension that we had is
Hold on, brothers and sisters, please put your phones on mute.
The ABC 11 weather camera is sponsored by Tar Heel Basement System.
Sister Wanda, can you mute everybody and then Cece can mute herself, unmute herself to speak?
I might be the one that's controlling that. Let me see.
You're good to go now.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right. Let's see. So the last thing I wanted to make point I wanted to make as far as the extension is that North Carolina has also granted us that same extension that the federal government gave. And I do need to just share with you all that there's another bill that's now in the Senate that where they're looking to extend some of the benefits that we got from that first bill, where we received the $1,200. They're looking at doing that again. And they're looking at just a slight difference in how that money will be distributed, but it's gonna still be around the same dollar amount. And also just wanted to say that if you have not received a check yet, the things that will possibly impact whether or not you get that money or how much you might've gotten, in addition to the things that we've already talked about, are past due child support payments. And if you might be married to an immigrant, those are things that impacted it. And then if you don't get a check, but you were entitled to one, then when you file your tax return in 2021 for 2020, it should be corrected. They will give you a tax credit at that time to make up for you're not getting a check this year. And so even if you don't file a tax return, because those amounts you received were based on your filing status, but if you don't file a tax return, you're still supposed to be able to get a check or get some money. And even if you are homeless, my question was, if a person's homeless, how in the world are they going to be able to get access to a computer so that they can get their money? But anyway, the money's supposed to be there for everybody. Okay. Okay, so the other reliefs that have been provided are supposed to come from places like our banks and our lenders, our credit unions, your landlords, utility companies, insurance companies, the churches. So just briefly, the lenders are supposed to be helping us by giving us more time to pay, or also just not penalizing us for not paying on time. That's the same thing with regards to our landlords. Our landlords have been supposedly working with those who may have lost jobs and not able to pay on time. They're supposed to be giving people breaks in not paying on time. And utility companies were by executive order prevented from cutting people's power off so that they would have time to pay later and without their power being cut off. Insurance companies, both for businesses and for individuals, were doing things like giving refunds or giving dividends. So insurance companies got on board, and then churches have been stocking up on supplies and being a resource to help in this crisis. And then other nonprofit agencies have also tried to be helpful, but just so you'll know that these agencies also need our help. So they are also looking for support during these crises. And then lastly, they waived the penalty for early withdrawal from your retirement plan. Let's say that you needed some extra money and you had money sitting in a retirement account. You were able to withdraw money without the early withdrawal penalty up to a maximum of $100,000, and you had 3 years to pay it back. You could also do a loan and defer your payments for a year. And then they also did some delaying the required distributions for those who were supposed to take their distributions. So why are they giving us all of this money and giving us all of these opportunities to do this? And that's because the leaders of our government need us to spend money in order to maintain their wealth and their positions of power. If COVID-19 fears continue to keep people at home, our economy will contract in such a way that they will lose billions of dollars. And if our economy contracts, economies all over the world will contract. When we get afraid, we tend to hold on to every dollar that we can. So they're trying to calm our fears. So I've read a number of articles and listened to a number of podcasts on over the last several weeks now. And these are what I'm going to share with you are some of the advice that the financial experts are suggesting that we do in the immediate time frame. So things like, don't pull your money out of the stock market. If you're already in there, now is not the time to take it out. Even though, you know, even when it crashed, you should leave it in. They're suggesting because the market is likely, it is going to go up eventually. It hasn't gotten back up to where it was, but it will eventually go back up. Prioritize your bills, that is deferring whatever you can, using tools like a budget or envelopes if that works for you. Max out your credit cards. This is crazy. And let me see, I can't see my screen for a second. Hold on a second. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Make minimum payments is the first thing I have there. Okay, and then max your credit cards. And that's what I thought was crazy. But they're suggesting that you do that for the access to the cash that you have on your cards, rather than using your own personal cash, max them out. And this is their advice. This is not mine. I want to make sure that's clear. File for unemployment if possible, and if necessary, push pause on large purchases. So if you were looking to make a large purchase, something that would take a lot of cash, they're suggesting that you push pause on those. Spend only on necessities and look for other sources of income. Apply for other jobs if possible. Don't stop your saving money. Putting your money in an emergency fund. Some say a 3-month emergency fund should be enough. Some say you need an 8-month emergency fund. During this crisis, probably an 8-month emergency fund would have been better. But anyway, thing is don't stop saving or investing is what they're saying. Refinance only if it makes sense too. And I just saw one said also try to renegotiate a lower interest rate on your credit card if possible. So not just your mortgage, but also, if you can, talk to your credit card company about trying to get a lower interest rate. And then lastly, prepare a will, a living trust, an advance directive, or a durable power of attorney. Take care of things that you might need to take care of before you pass away, if you get the virus. So anyway, and pass from it. So anyway, those are their points there. So, among other things, hold on, let me back up. Most of the government help and financial advice we're getting is designed to calm our fears and to keep us spending as much money as possible in order to keep businesses up and running, making profits so that they can keep as much money in their pockets as possible. When we take money out of the economy, they say we lose, but they lose as well. According to them, we all lose. Now, among other things, it turns out that we're spending a lot more money now online than we were before. And so the things we're buying are things to entertain ourselves and to protect ourselves. So this chart shows the increase in dollars that we're spending over last year online, and with spending money on things like books and cleaning supplies and sports and entertainment. Also, sports and outdoor supplies and activities or things for those activities, toys and games, groceries, warranties, and those kinds of things. And because of our fears, we're also spending more money on guns, believe it or not. I was taken aback by that, but They said that most of the guns, we're seeing the most gun sales in the 20 plus year history that they've been keeping records. The last 2 months on the highest gun sales. So this is truly unsettling. And with the, everything that's going on right now, just to know that there are more people out there with guns is really unsettling. We have been taught by the capitalistic system to pursue the American dream, including wealth and riches, that these are the things that we should value and should motivate us to do what we do, to go to work every day. I can remember that one of the first board games that I learned to play was Monopoly. The goal was to own as much land and property as possible and to be the richest of all the players at the end of the game. Therefore, I learned from that so that my life goal was supposed to be about going to school so that I could get an education and could become rich. That's supposed to be the game of life. Money's supposed to bring us happiness. The more we have of it, the happier we are, right? No, it's a straight lie from the pit of hell. Capitalism makes us slaves to mammon, and that being not just money in and of itself, but greed. It's the greed for money. And we in America are forced to work for it in order to survive. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that is worship of riches and greedy pursuit. We have even made a god of our fear of not getting the approval of our masters, the powers that be. We have been conditioned to seek the approval of man instead of God. And their approval means spend as much money as you can, get rich, but don't be fooled, it's a trap. So Paul writes to Timothy a warning regarding those of us who want to be rich. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and in many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not money in and of itself, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Excuse me. So the desire to be rich is the trap. Paul implies that it is the desire to be rich that is the love of money, that is the root of all evil. Not money itself, it's the desire to have a lot of it. It's called greed. And Paul in Romans 12:2 says that we must not be conformed to this world, but we must renew our minds. So the Lord has given me two things to leave with you as to what we must do to avoid this trap. Number one, we must be faithful stewards. And number two, we must be rich toward God. So some of us had better watch out though. When we get a little piece of change, not consciously, but subconsciously, we begin to think we're better than someone who has less than we have. That is the subtle danger with having riches and more stuff. It's a mind thing. It starts with misunderstanding that it's our misunderstanding of who owns the stuff in the first place. And that's about stewardship. So here's a quote that says, all Christians are but God's stewards. Everything we have is on loan from the Lord, entrusted to us for a while to use in serving him. And then the other quote here, it says, stewardship is caring for what belongs to God. It is rooted in the recognition that everything we have comes from God, and everything we have is God's. So what does it mean to be a faithful steward? So you all remember Peter, one of Jesus's best disciples. More than 20 years after Jesus's resurrection, he wrote a letter to the Christians in Rome who were being persecuted for their faith. And among other things, this is what he told them to encourage them to endure the suffering. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you, and this is the key, each of you use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So we are to be, to avoid this, we must be faithful stewards by using whatever manner or whatever thing that God has blessed us with to serve others. And so what does a good faithful steward look like during the time of COVID? So I have some things to share with you all as to what it looks like to be a good steward during this time, during this crisis. So first of all, submit to God's will for your life. Thy kingdom come, and seek, and that is seeking God's kingdom like it's the hidden treasure where the man sold everything, and to so that he could go buy this field that had the treasure in it. That's what seeking God's kingdom over our lives to that degree, so that he has, that we are submitting to his will for our lives. Following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to guide us in what we do and how we spend our money. Remember that everything that you have and everything that you are belongs to God. Learn to be content in whatever state you find yourself in. That is, and learning to live below your means, making your wants few, so that that you don't overextend yourself and having to borrow in order to survive. Learn how to share expenses, and this requires some humility and putting our what we want aside sometimes in order to put others first. And so one of the things that came to my remembrance when I was working on this was how when my oldest brother and sister left home, what they would do is that they would send some of their money back home to help my parents out. So we have to learn how to help one another out and sometimes pool our resources and learn how to share space so that we can share expenses. Discipline ourselves or discipline yourself in all areas of your life. Learn how to make sure that you continue. We talked about saving earlier, but the saving that the world tells us we need to be doing is to save to retire. And I argue that no, we should be saving for a rainy day or a crisis like we're in right now, because the Bible never tells us to save to retire because we don't know whether we're going to live to retire. So, but we should be putting money aside with interest. And I as an example, the parable where Jesus talks about the steward, the unfaithful steward who buried his money, and he chastised him for not at least putting the money in the bank so that they could earn interest. So save with interest. Your time has value. Be careful how you spend it. Be generous. That means sowing. Continue to sow into the gospel, the work of the gospel. And don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't invest in anything that you don't understand. So I have a pet peeve about investing that I say I wouldn't suggest somebody follow me when it comes to what I say about when it comes to investing in the stock market and things like, because I just have this pet peeve, and I won't get into it right now because I don't have enough time. But I want to say that if you don't understand something, don't put your money there. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. That much I can tell you. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. If you must invest, you should diversify is what they recommend. And this is where I go when it comes to investing. I believe that I ought to put my money on Main Street and not Wall Street. The risk and the returns are lower because I do that. But I'm okay with getting less money because I'm not trying to get rich. Invest in yourself, your whole being. Be intentional and be productive, not to extend your life, but to be your best self in order to bless others. Pay off all of your debts as soon as possible. Don't add any new debt. And if you can't pay cash for it, you can't afford it. And this is the one based on the debtor is the slave to the lender. So we don't want to go there if we don't have to. Avoid interest expense and fees like they are COVID-19. You want to try, and that's again, just trying to stay out of, you know, the debt area. And fees, of course, are from late payments, from not paying on time. So try to avoid those like they are COVID-19. Do not co-sign for someone else's debt. The Bible tells us to not be a surety for others. But instead, consider giving them a gift. If you can't afford to give it to them, don't go there, all right? Don't make your loved ones have to clean up your mess after you are gone. You want to deal with your stuff before something happens. You know, try to declutter or do whatever it takes so that other people don't have to deal with your mess after you're gone. Plan to die is called a will. The thing I was getting ready to say, I have this thing about using a credit union instead of a bank, which I left off this slide, but and that's because credit unions are like, they're owned by the account holders, that those of us who put our money there, we are the owners, and they're not owned by some stockholders. And so that's what my thing is about credit unions instead of a bank. And don't wait until you die to give things of value away. If the Lord leads you to do something, to bless somebody before you die, don't worry, don't try to hold on to things, but just allow him to guide you. And I had a story that I won't share now because of time, Nishanda's dress, and I'll share that with you all if you want to hear it sometime. And then live like Jesus is coming back, because he is, y'all. He's going to return. Okay, so if you found anything on this list that you can relate to, then you are blessed. You may not consider yourself rich or wealthy, but we are abundantly blessed. I have called these what it looks like to be a faithful steward during COVID-19, but these are also practical things that we should be doing to get their knee off our neck, okay? So the second thing that I wanted to share with you all is about becoming rich toward God. And to make my final point, I'm using a parable that Jesus told to a crowd about what we accumulate in this world, after a young man told Jesus to tell his brother to share his inheritance with him. To which Jesus's response was, "Who made me judge over you?" He went on to say, "Beware of covetousness," and that's all kinds of greed, "and that life doesn't consist of an abundance of things or possessions." And this is the parable. Oops, sorry. Okay, this is the parable. There was the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. And notice how many times he says I here. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." So our capitalistic society places high value on the pursuit of more and more wealth or riches. However, Jesus teaches us in Luke and in Matthew's gospel here, to lay not up treasures on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. So the Lord returns me to this verse right here and this passage, time and time again, where Jesus tells John to write these words to the angel of the church of Laodicea, because the saints in this city were rich in their societal terms. And this is what Jesus had him to write. He said, these are the words of the Amen, that's Jesus, the faithful and true witness, that's Jesus, the ruler of God's creation, that's Jesus. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And actually, that's a nice way of saying, I'm getting ready to vomit you up. You say, I am rich. Now, here's another. You say, what we tell ourselves, we have to be careful what we tell ourselves. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So they were deceiving themselves into thinking that because they were rich, that they didn't need anything. And that they didn't, and not only didn't need God. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. That's what true riches are. Gold, his gold refined in the fire. White clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. Didn't realize that they were naked. And it's the king with no clothes, right? And salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. He is our balm in Gilead, right? So Jesus must be our heart's desire. He has to be our treasure. And so that's about being rich toward God. And we're going to talk more about that in just a second here. But I want to tell you that African Americans are least likely to be rich than any other ethnic group in America. And it's been that way for centuries, that when it comes to being rich, we are least likely to be rich than any other ethnic group in our country. But here's the deal. If your take-home pay is $15,000, that's all. If it's $15,000 is your take-home pay, you are wealthy than 80% of the world's population. If you have no debt but $10 in your pocket, you are richer than 25% of the American population. If you have a dependent child, you are rich. If you own a gun or have an alarm system, you must have something that you want to protect. So guess what? And then if you're an American citizen, because here's another point. Even a single mother of three in America living in poverty is wealthier than 60% of the world's population. So what does it mean to be rich toward God? Richness and wealth toward God are measured by these kinds of things. That's what I was talking about before, was being what we talk about being rich in material things. But here we're talking about being rich toward God. And that is, first of all, the degree to which we have yielded our lives to his governance. That is, his will trumping my will, his kingdom trumping my kingdom, and his desires trumping my desires. The degree to which I have yielded that to him, that is what we're talking about. And one quick example, imagine a piece of pie, imagine a whole pie. Our richness depends on what slice of pie that we own versus the slice of pie that we are given to God. So our lives being that pie, the whole pie is our life. And to the degree or the amount of that pie that we have given to God, yielded to God, that is how rich we are. Okay, then the degree to which we abide in him and his word abides in us, and that we allow his, the degree to which we abide in him and his word, and we allow him and his word to abide in us. And then also lastly, the degree to which we yield our lives to, and again, that's about yielding everything in our lives to his control. That means our time, our talents, our gifts, our money, our family and friends, our works, our strength, our abilities, our health, our mental capacity, our emotions, including our fears and our worries, the degree to which we yield that to him, that is our rich, how rich we are in our wealth toward God. The another example that I wanted to share is that, you know, when people get married, some people say, well, it's a 50-50, you know, deal. Is in a successful marriage is not going to be 50-50. A successful marriage is going to be 100-100, where both people give 100% of themselves into the relationship. But that's the same thing with God. He has already given us 100% of himself. It's the amount that we give back to him. That is the portion. That is how rich we are to God. When we have given, the more we have yielded to him, if we are yielding 100%, that's what he wants of us, 100%. And then the more we, but here's the deal, the more we tend to get, this is our tendency as human beings, the more we tend to get and he blesses us with, sometimes we tend to hold on to things tighter. But we want to yield those or whatever it is that he's provided, blessed us with, so that we can be rich toward him. And now I'm back to, and this is my, I'm at this, this is my last point here. I want to share though, as I go into this story, a brief story about a girl named Gloria that I met on my first trip to Uganda in 2016 at the Agape Children's Village in Kampala. Some of you all may have seen my recent post about her on Facebook, but despite the fact that all she had in worldly possessions, was what she had in her dormitory that she shared with the other girls in the orphanage, Gloria sang praises to God like nobody I know. This child gave glory to God for his goodness towards her, even with the little that she had, that she owned in this world. And so she is an example of someone who is rich toward God. And so she may not have been rich in the world's eyes, but she certainly was rich in God's eyes. Lastly, those whom I love, this is a continuation of that passage from Revelation, where Jesus, He's rebuked the Laodiceans for saying that they were rich and for being lukewarm, which I would say that we tend to be lukewarm when we think we got stuff, and sometimes our praises go down. We don't praise God like we ought to sometimes because we're comfortable. But anyway, he goes on to say that those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Without Jesus, we are not able to be rich toward God. He is the key to our richness toward God. And if you haven't let him in, he's standing at the door. If you open it, he will come in and dine with you. The one who is victorious, and victory comes because who is the one who is victorious? The one who is rich toward God. So when we are rich toward God, we become the one who is victorious. And he says, I will give you the right to sit with me on my throne. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. This, just as I was victorious and sat on my father, with my father on his throne. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We may never achieve what this world defines as materially rich during our lifetime, but through our relationship and with victory in Jesus, we can be faithful stewards over what he has blessed us with and forever be rich toward God. Thank you for your time and attention. Thank you again, Pastor Brown, for this opportunity. I hope that you all were able to take something away from this presentation. And if you are not on our email list at New Hope, if you would like a copy of this presentation, please put a message in the message box, let me just show you, my email, my contact information is right here. You can either text me or you can email me or you can call me and I will be glad to send you all a copy of this presentation. But yes, if you have, and let me just check to see the chat box and just see if anybody has already put any questions. Get to the chat box. Okay, no questions. So, but if you have any questions, and I guess, what time? So we are about out of time. So since we are almost out of time, I won't open it up for questions, but I will say that if you have questions, you can email me or call me and I'll be glad to try to answer any questions that you may have. So I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Brown.
All right. We thank the Lord for, can you all hear me?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for the way in which he has used Cece to edify us tonight and understanding all that's going on around us, but even the Lord's expectations for us from a spiritual perspective and reframing some things for us. I want us now, if we would just bow for a closing prayer, and again, be sure to reach directly out to Cece related to any sort of questions that you might have. Certainly, if there are additional questions related to these type of workshops and whether we will continue to do them, then I want you to feel free to reach directly out to me and we can answer that. But let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the time that we've spent together on this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to grow into being more of what it is that you've called us to be. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of the pandemic, in spite of the things that we recognize, in spite of all of the evil that exists in our world, you continue to keep us, you continue to shape us, you continue to just bless us so that we might prosper during this time. Lord, and we recognize that prosperity is not just what's in our bank accounts, but it is in our understanding of who it is that we are in you. And so we thank you, Lord, for how it is that you make us all rich in terms of the blessings that you bestow upon us. Make us, Lord, more appreciative of what it is that we receive and allow us to be good stewards over all that you bless us with. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I pray your blessings. Pray blessings upon each of you. Have an awesome evening.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right. All right.